Good morning and welcome to the Forgotten Word. I'm Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries and glad to have you back with us today. I want to talk a little bit about an article I read just the other day about churches shifting to Wednesday worship. First off, when I first read that heading, that title, the first thought in my mind is, you know, I've noticed that over the years, Wednesday services in a lot of churches have become non-existent. Sunday night services are becoming non-existent. Wednesday night services are gone in a lot of different denominations and fellowships. So the first thing it brought to my mind was, is why? Is there, what's the reason behind it? Is it, it really made me just wonder, you know, I mean, I hate being a critic. I don't want people to think I'm always looking for the downside of everything, because I'm not. I'm certainly looking for the upside of everything that I can. The problem that we run into is, and I hear this from a lot of people, you know, that, well, you know, Bob, you're always looking at the negative, and I'm not always looking at the negative. I look at everything, and I weigh it out, and I balance it out. I want to see what's going on, and certainly, you know, I talk about a lot of the wonderful things that are happening in the world today and in the church world, and but this particular program deals with things that we see happening that are either wrong in the churches or they're bad doctrine, you know, false teachings and things of that nature. And also just some things that, you know, really get our attention and make us take a look at what's going on in the church today. And one of the things that I noticed when reading this article was it's out of they're talking about a place in Salem, New Hampshire. And it starts off, you know, like any little article, says, as New England sweltered in early July, Sunday mornings came and went without a single soul showing up for worship in the hot, stuffy sanctuary of First Congregational Church of Salem, New Hampshire. Even the pastor stayed home. Now, I've heard locally where I'm from in Illinois, we've had a lot of 100-degree days in the last month and a half or so. A lot of them, 4, 5, 6 days, 7 days in a row, and then maybe down into the 90s and then 100 again. I mean, it's really been hot, and I understand that. But I still am of the contention, I guess I'm just old-fashioned. You know, how much are we obligated, I guess I would say, to suffer? Are we obligated to give anything, to suffer in any way, shape, or form, to worship the Lord? Or are we only supposed to get together and worship the Lord when the weather's just right and we feel just right and we're in the mood? You know, that just really gets to me when I see a lot of that. And that's, that, unfortunately, some of the things I started seeing a little bit of in this this article that I read here. It says here, let me see if I can find that quote, but it says there, some churches are experimenting with Wednesday worship service during the summer, but God wasn't forgotten. It says worship just waited until Wednesday evening, when the cool comfort of the basement fellowship hall drew as many as 40 to sing and pray. That's 50% more than the church attracted when it met on summer Sundays. Now, I would like to think that people were just available more, even though they should have made themselves available on Sundays. The only reason to miss church is if you have to be out of town for some reason, or you're sick. Things of that nature. Just because you want to go camping doesn't mean that you can't get up on Sunday morning and go to where the nearest town you're at, or if you don't camp that far away from home, go back into church and go back out. You know, everybody finds an excuse not to be in church and worship the Lord. I'm sorry that maybe this strikes people wrong, but that's how I feel about it. There's always an excuse. You know, it says here, goes on to say, if people take a break from worshiping, they sometimes don't pick that habit back up. I think that's sad, because again, here we are with the habit thing. It's almost like you don't know what you're doing. It's just a habit. You know, that's the way it works, you know. It's not something you do voluntarily. It's a habit. And that's what they call it. This came from a deacon at the First Congregational, a United Church of Christ congregation. He says, but because Wednesdays keep people coming, we have a depth of commitment throughout the year. So that's fine. Summer has a way of thinning out pews on Sunday mornings, they said. And, you know, that's how it works. You know, people are either, you know, taken to the trails, as they said, or outdoor markets, and backyard projects, camping, all of those kinds of things, you know. I don't know why you can't go to those things after church, but there's always an excuse, like I said. But it says more and more, more and more, however, churches are rediscovering Wednesday, a traditional midweek church night, as a prime time to gather the flock for casual worship in summer. Early adopters report improved attendance, slightly fatter coffers, and invigorated spirituality as curious newcomers drop by and join in. Always strikes me as strange how these people always talk about, we got more numbers and we got more money. That comes out of the, it just seems like that part of the conversation comes out before anything is talked about as far as, you know, spirituality with God, and connection with God, or someone getting saved. You know, they talk about the reported, and they reported improved attendance, they got in more money, and there was some invigorated spirituality as curious newcomers drop by and join in. Should be just the other way around in my book, but maybe my book's wrong, but I don't think so, because after all, I pattern my book after the Bible, the Lord's Word, and that's what we're all supposed to do. But, you know, they said it's becoming more and more common for churches to experiment with different times, days, and venues for worship gatherings. The prevailing attitude of church insiders, though, you know, seems to be that worship gathering that really counts is the one on Sunday morning, but they are trying new things just to see what's going to happen. You know, they're not, they say Wednesdays is not an easy sell, but, you know, most of the people who aren't available on Sundays because they're up at the cabin or something, they say they don't come on Wednesdays either. It's not a substitute for Sunday. This one guy says, this is some pastor from a Lutheran church in Minnesota. He says it doesn't make up the difference. For us, it's just, it make the difference in a reduced summer attendance. For us, it's just an alternative style of worship, and I don't know why it's alternative. It used to be every church held service on Wednesdays. It used to be that that was a common thing, that people met on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and sometimes other nights for prayer services. But now it's got to be where it's just, you know, we got to make things fit everybody's lifestyle. In other words, God has to meet us where we're at, not us meet God where he's at. I don't care what anybody says. I've heard these preachers and people talk about God will meet you where you're at. No, you meet God. God searches for you, and when he calls you, he's going to call you, and you have to meet him on his standards. God doesn't adapt to your standards. You adapt to God's standards. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you live for the Lord from that point on, and make a commitment to do his will, you're adapting to God's standards. He's not adapting to your standards. But that's not what these preachers that have you think. They're saying that, you know, basically, you know, well, here's one guy here. He says, you know, there was an elderly couple. There were a couple of elderly couples that said, we've been worshiping at this church. Now, this is a United Church of Christ preacher was saying this. A Reverend, oh, gee whiz, who was that? Reverend Vicky Keen, an interim pastor in the United Church of Christ. There were a couple of elderly couples that said, we've been worshiping at this church for 40 or 50 years, and it's just pitiful that our church won't be open on Sundays, said this preacher Keen lady. She's the interim pastor at First Church Congregational in Methuen, Massachusetts. She went on to say, traditions are strong. We'll just have to see how this all unfolds. Well, pardon me, but I don't get it. You're switching from Sunday to Wednesday because your attendance ain't high enough on Sunday. You're not getting enough people in the door. You want to change to Sunday so you can get more people in the door so your coffers are fatter, and it has nothing to do with God. And maybe that's why your church ain't making it to start with. You preachers ever think of that? And I don't want to hear about how, oh, well, you know, the big mega churches, they're making millions and millions of dollars. Of course they are. They're not grounded in the Word. They're of the world, and the world's full of money. True worshipers will come if you preach the Word, the true Word. You preach the Word. You ever seen that movie, Field of Dreams? Build it, they will come. You preach it, they will come. Guaranteed. Preach it, they will come. You preach it, they will come. They should put this on the front of all these churches that are true churches. Sign out front. We preach it. You come on in. We're preaching the truth. Here's one comment from somebody that goes to one of these churches. Now, this is typical. This is typical of what's going on in the world today, especially in the United States of America. It breaks my heart. But this is a typical response of someone who goes to church who's not there to worship God. They're not truly there to worship God, or they wouldn't make these kind of stupid remarks. Here's a comment. It's a nice break in the middle of the week to see my friends, said this one person who I won't name, a Salem mother of two teenagers, and it means I don't have to cook that night. Doesn't that make you want to vomit? This lady should be on her knees begging God for forgiveness for making such a ridiculously stupid comment about why she's going to church. If all you're doing is going to church to see your friends, and so you don't have to cook that night at home, you got no business in the church because you're a lousy hypocrite. And people like you need to get out of the church and get your life straightened out. I shouldn't say get out of the church. You need to get out of that mindset. You need a preacher to look you dead square in the eye and tell you, listen, person. Listen, mister. Listen, ma'am. If you're coming in this church to see your friends and not have to cook on a Wednesday night, you're in this church for the wrong reason. You need to get up there on your knees and you need to be begging God for help, forgiveness, asking Him to please forgive you for your ignorance. How selfish can we be in this life that we can't go to church to worship God? We go to church to visit our friends and to have a night off from having to cook meals from your family. Makes me want to, pardon me, but puke. People, if you don't get back to loving God more than you love yourself, you are going to burn in hell for eternity. I am not joking you. I'm dead serious. Eternity is such a long time. Put a match underneath the palm of your hand for just a few seconds and feel the heat of it and realize that about 2,000 times that much heat for eternity. That's what you got waiting for you if you don't start worshiping God instead of worshiping yourselves. And all you preachers who's got people in your congregations that are acting the way they are, you should be ashamed of yourselves for not standing up and preaching the truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you, God. Listen, folks, I don't mean to be crazy about this whole thing, but I'm out of time. Listen, love God, not yourself. You have got to let Him grow while you get smaller. Don't you understand that? Listen, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless every one of you. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do. And we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, C-A-M-P-P-O-I-N-T, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.